Please go ahead.
Jeff, I'll do a quick roll call if you'd like me to.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Good morning. Good afternoon, everyone. Today's call, we have Jeff Newman, Tatiana Kramtsova, Mike Rodenbach, Rolf Knorben, Alan Greenberg, Paul Diaz, James Bladell, Brian Wintersfeld. From staff, we have Marika Konings, Liz Gaster, Glenn de Saint-Géry, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. Apologies, we have Margie Milam. We are also currently trying to connect Sophia Bekele and Gabrielle Pinero. Thank you. If I can also, sorry, please remind you all to set your names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning and good afternoon to everyone. It is September 10th, 2009. This is the call of the PDP work team. I want to welcome everyone to the call. It seems like we got pretty good attendance compared to the last few meetings. As far as an agenda, what I'd like to do today is start with some administrative matters, including, you know, the schedule for the next four calls or so. Then to talk a little bit about draft one of the recommendations and conclusions, which was submitted to the list a couple weeks ago and has been on the wiki. So we'll just go through. We haven't received any comments to that yet, so we'll probably just go through structure and some areas maybe to focus on that we really need some comments from the team on. Then we'll go through some outstanding items from stage two and finally introduce at the end of the call, or towards the end of the call, some of the questions and issues of stage three. Is there any questions on that or anything anybody wants to add?
Just David Maher joining, but I'm in a car and won't be able to be on the Adobe.
Okay, thanks, David. Anybody else with any questions or comments on the agenda? Okay, so our next call is normally at the scheduled time, would normally be on the 24th at this time. But unfortunately, there is a council meeting at this very time on the 24th, or maybe it's even, I guess it might be an hour earlier. So I think what we're going to do is to keep the day the same is we'll send a doodle poll around to see if there are any other times that people can meet on this day on Thursday in 2 weeks, because we can't really conflict with the council calls. There's a couple members of council on this work team, and we would lose almost all, if not all, of our ICANN staff support because they all are on the council calls as well.
Jeff, it's Alan. We got a note a little while ago saying that a meeting had been scheduled on the 17th. Was that just preliminary at that point and is not scheduled?
Yeah, that was just preliminary.
Okay.
And I think there have been a number of conflicts, people who have had conflicts with that.
Okay.
So we're going to do a doodle poll for the 24th and see if that works at another time. And hopefully it will. We decided after that on the last call to do weekly calls on starting in October. So that would be the 1st, the 8th, and the 15th. The October 1st meeting could be at the normal scheduled time. There are no conflicts. We have a similar conflict on the 8th as we do on the 24th with a GNSO council call. So we're going to send a doodle poll around for that day as well. And then the 15th, we'll meet at the regularly scheduled time, which is the week before the Seoul, well, a week and a couple days before the Seoul meeting. And we will be meeting on, Glenn, has it been decided whether this team will meet on the Saturday or Sunday? I know there have been some counselors that have asked for Saturday and Sunday schedule to be switched.
Yes. So which is your preferred day? Because I'm actually just in the middle of doing the schedule for those 2 days, Jeff.
Well, I think Sunday was the preferred day, but not
yes,
if it conflicts.
Yes, that's what I think, too. And Saturday is actually a day that I think the council is trying to keep apart for the two houses to meet.
Okay. The only thing I don't want to do is conflict with the new GTLD discussions, because I think we would pretty much lose everybody to those.
Okay. Yes. No. I'm very aware of that. So if I can fit it in on Sunday, is that all right?
Yes, that would be preferable.
Okay.
I, of course, will have conflicts with that, Alan, but that's expected anyway.
Oh, because the at-large meets on that day?
Yep.
Okay, I'll do my best. Thanks, Jeff. By the way, Gabriel is trying to get onto the call.
Okay.
I've had email contact with him.
Well, hopefully he'll be able to join.
He's also on the Adobe, so one should be able to chat, if nothing else.
Yeah, yeah.
I tried, but I haven't gotten a response.
Okay.
Good thought.
It seems like Brian has also joined on Adobe. I'm not sure if he's also been able to join on the phone yet.
I'm here.
Oh, hey, Brian.
Hey, okay. How are you?
Great, great. Thanks for joining. So is there any questions on the schedule? So, again, just to recap, the 24th is our next scheduled call, but due to a conflict of the GNSO Council, we'll send around a doodle to see if there's another time that people could meet. The first is on Thursday, the 1st of October, is a regularly scheduled call at the regularly scheduled time. Then we're going to do the 8th and the 15th, but on the 8th we're going to send around a doodle for another time on that day as well because of the council call. So is there any questions or comments on that?
Obviously that will be confirmed in an email so we can put it on our calendars.
Yes, we will send out a right after this call or during this call, maybe someone will send out a reminder of those dates. Okay, and the general schedule, what we'd like to get done, just so from an administrative standpoint, is right now we have a draft of the Stage 1 document that's out there. I'd like to have comments, at least from the team, sort of in by, or hopefully all in, by the 24th, by the next meeting, and then kind of close that out for now. I think all of these stages are going to be revisited once we, you know, complete the entire process, because there is a bunch of overlap and things and overarching issues that we'll have to go back and make sure are consistent between all the stages. So that's with Stage 1. Stage 2, the goal is to send out a survey on some questions that relate to Stage 2, like we did with Stage 1, hopefully by early next week. I'm hoping by the 14th or 15th, closing off responses on that survey by September 28th. To discuss on the October 1st call. And then for Stage 3 is hoping to get to a stage where a survey can be done before the SOL meeting and to have some survey results to discuss those at the SOL meeting. That's the goal. I hope we can make that goal, and if people can participate on the email list and comment on the drafts and certainly respond to the surveys, that will help us reach that goal. Any questions on those kind of administrative milestones? Great. Hearing none, let's jump into the Stage 1 document, which is on the wiki. It's also posted on Adobe. And has everyone seen that, or has everyone had a chance to read that?
I've seen it. I've not had a chance to read it all yet.
Okay.
Same for me.
All right, that's pretty much what I was kind of figuring. I know that it was the end of summer vacations and just the start of the year, so I'm hoping that we all are now starting fresh, that it's the fall, and we can begin work in earnest. I think what I'll do is then just go through generally the document and the structure, or have Marika actually go through that as to what is the approach we've taken. Marika, do I have control, or do you? I know we all can look at the document, but do you have ultimate control?
Everyone has control now, but I can set it in such a way that everyone follows my lead now, so I can take you through the document. So should have control.
Thanks.
So maybe just to start off and explain, because the idea would be that in the end, once we've worked our way through all the stages, that everything will be brought together into one document that outlines the whole process. So this is, just looking at the first stage of that process. So basically there's a very short introduction. Of course, we need to work a bit more into here, but this is just outlining the different stages that will be covered in this report. And then what I've basically tried to do is outline the different questions that we looked at in the table that we developed. And for each of those, then outline what is the current practice or what are the current provisions in the bylaws, what were the concerns and questions that the group raised in relation to that specific question? What was the PDP work team response to these issues? And a lot of information here has been either taken from the notes of the table document or from the responses received in the survey. That's why I would like to encourage everyone as well to provide as much of the information as possible in the survey where you have the opportunity to provide comments, because it will be easy to translate those into the report and, you know, have a broad representation of the views in there. Then based on those responses, I've tried to incorporate some recommended changes. Some of those we have concretely discussed as to how we would like to see them, but in some areas we haven't really discussed any concrete ideas or suggestions on how to deal with those. So in some you will see, I've inserted some ideas. Some of them might have been discussed, but not in further detail, or it wasn't obvious whether there was broad consensus around those. So it's important to review those and maybe think about as well what other kinds of recommendations might be put forward here and for the group to consider. So that's basically the outline. I'll release the document now so everyone can scroll through it. So for each of those specific questions, you know, the outline is basically the same. You know, what's the current practice? What are concerns, questions? What is the PDP work team respond? And what are the proposed recommendations to recommend the changes related to that specific issue? And then I can already show you as well that in the annex, but like in every report, there will be, of course, the background, you know, how did the group discuss this, how were decisions taken, how was the work process developed, who participated in calls, the charter, members of the working group. So that will all be incorporated in the annexes.
So the only thing I want to add is that when this document came out, it was before the ICANN board approved the new set of bylaws. So in that actual where it talks about old and new bylaws, so if you all go to page like 5 of 28, you'll notice that some of that, it says original text ICANN bylaws. I think what we're going to change that to is the current ICANN bylaws. And so you'll see a change between the new approved bylaws and what we're recommending, as opposed to the change from the old bylaws, which are no longer in effect. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
So there's that. And then I think there's only a couple, one or two areas that I think are kind of blank, which I think we would appreciate some comments on. And I'm trying to find, so if you look at, for example, under heading 6, which is on page 16 of 28, the role of ICANN staff actually starts on page 14, which is number 6. But if you go to, you have the role of ICANN staff, the current rules and practices, you have questions or concerns, a discussion from the PDP work team, but then there's right before section 7, it talks about recommendations and it just has a TBD. So I think it was a little tough from our discussions to actually think of some recommendations there, or there wasn't a consensus. So if we could have, if you could kind of focus on that for section 6, is to think of from the discussion or from the notes if there's any recommendations to be made, not only with respect to changing the bylaws, but also for things maybe for the operational rules or even just best practices, some sort of recommendations to come out of it.
If we are perfectly happy with the status quo, that implies no recommendations. Is that correct?
No, that's a recommendation as well.
Okay.
Right? Recommend staying with the status quo is a recommendation. So that's one area. There's another one on page 19, which is in section 7, and it's in the I should start on page 17. I said my eyes are playing games here, where it talks about the recommendation. These are really timeline questions that says TBD. So just to start giving thought to that, I know we're kind of pushing off timeline discussion for a little bit, but if people can just look at that and maybe if they have any ideas in there to kind of make some recommendations. And finally, I think that's...
Jeff, if I remember correctly, in both those cases, we were looking for the ability to not, or the we wanted to be able not constrain things unreasonably, but not leave them completely open-ended. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. Then that's in the discussion.
Okay.
So, but there should be some, we don't even have to have the word days after receiving, right? I think we did go through, if you look at the notes, I think we, and we might have talked about it in stage two, so maybe that's, maybe we're going to have to look, Marika, at stage two notes and kind of see if that, if we did kind of answer that.
Yeah, we can look back at that.
And then, of course, there's in section 10, which is on starts on page, the economic impact analysis, which is starts on page 22. We have just TBD there. Should there be any recommendations on that? We kind of talked a little bit about it, but you'll see 10A talks about our kind of what we talked about, but there's no recommendations that we've put in here yet. And same thing with section 11. We have discussion in there about prioritization. I think we're going to now talk about that again in stage two for priority, so I think maybe that'll get filled in today if we can come to some sort of resolution. Any questions on the document, the structure?
It's Wolf Norman speaking, Jeff.
Sure.
First of all, I appreciate very much this document. Well, it's really well structured, and it's self-explaining. So, what is it about? So I find it very easy to handle. The question is right now, then, what are we going to do with that document? And are we going to deliver that document to the PPSC afterwards? Then, as it is, so including the recommendations, including the amendments, the recommended amendments of rules of operation or bylaws and these things, and including all the arguments we have put into that process. How are we going to handle that? That's one question. And with regard to the recommendations, I understand until the 24th of September, you expect us to comment on those draft conclusions. That means also to come up with any recommendations if we are of the opinion to recommend something, or shall we discuss it first, or what is your preference?
Okay, so there's a couple questions there. So just to go back, I mean, my vision and something we've talked about with ICANN staff, and you obviously want your input, is that we're not going to submit anything to the PPSC until we finish the five stages. That ultimately what we'll do is it's going to be one document, all the five stages. We'll do kind of an executive summary that's got a list of all the recommendations up front. And then all of this text, you know, for all the stages will be included behind that. So more in-depth discussion. So that's kind of the thinking. That's not going to go to the PPSC until all of that is done, all the stages. For the next couple weeks, I just want comments on this document, whether, you know, not only on the conclusions, but do you agree with how we characterize the discussions that took place? Do you think that your viewpoint represented in the discussion? So did we capture everything? Did we not capture everything? And then ultimately, for the recommendations, do you agree with the recommendations? Do you not agree? Do you have additional recommendations to add to that based on the discussion that took place? So those are the types of things that we're looking for.
Mm-hmm. So just to understand it correctly, that means we will hand over a complete document, so with 1 to 5 stages. Is that correct?
So yeah, the goal is for one document, you know, in a couple months when we're done with this, to send that to the PPSC
yeah.
as one document with recommendations up front and then the discussion behind that, including at the end, you know, methodology and all that.
Yeah, for me, the question is, why I'm asking that is for me to understand what is the council thinking with regards to, let me say, to accepting the new, let me say, the new PDP, policy development process. Does it mean they are accepting, will accept it as a whole, so from stage 1 to 5, after all has been discussed and after all has been accepted, or is it possible that, let me say, they will start with stage 1 and 2, with the issues report and the initiation, and implement it step by step. Could that be the case?
You know, I'm not on the council, so I'm not going to speak on behalf of what they'll do with it once, or even what the PPSC will do it with it once they get it. Maybe, I don't know, Mike, you're on the council. Do you have, any discussion?
I wouldn't characterize what the council would or would not do with this, but as you stated, it's got to go through the PPSC first. And obviously we in this group have to come to consensus before it goes to PPSC, so we still have quite a bit of work to do.
It's Liz. Can I get in the queue?
Sure.
And Alan.
Sure, Liz and Alan.
You know, one thing, I do think at some point we're going to take this report or the conclusions in this report, and we're going to need to convert it to bylaws language, like something like Appendix A, today, or Annex A rather, and rules of procedure, you know, whatever goes in the bylaws versus the rules of procedure. One thing we should talk about, I don't know if you all agree, but it strikes me that the report becomes the foundation then for drafting that revised language, and ultimately what gets the final product that, you know, the council approves and the board approves, because I think the board has to approve the new PDP process too, is actually bylaws changes that reflect everything in this that this group ideally would also either draft or, you know, staff would draft and it would review, you know, to make sure it's in concert with the outcomes of the report. So I just want to throw that out in terms of deliverable, because we are focused on the report, rightly so, but it does have to get translated ultimately into a reference document that memorialized. Does that make sense?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that? I'm trying to say that again.
So when we revise the PDP,
right,
we're going to produce this report, but it needs to, the PDP, ultimately the revision of the PDP has to get translated from report to new bylaws language.
Right.
So that's new rules of procedure.
So that's in the recommendations, right? So wherever there's changes to bylaws, we've put that into the report.
But does this group not want to participate? I'm kind of trying to get at what I think the question is here in terms of the deliverable. It would strike me that this group would want a role in the process that is involved in taking those recommendations and translating them into bylaws and rules, bylaws, actual bylaws language and rules of procedure. Because it's one thing, I mean, I'm not trying to presuppose this, I'm asking the question. You know, we can take the report, staff could take the report and draft bylaws, and the council could review and approve the bylaws, or the PPSC could review and approve those bylaws changes, but ultimately this report has to get translated, has to get rewritten in the form of bylaws changes, those just the recommendations part. Is that not understood by...
It's understood. I think some of it's bylaws, some of it's operations, and some of it's best practices.
That's exactly right, all right. Three of those things. I just was trying to shorthand. I mean, so the report is one thing. It's going to be the penultimate result of the brilliant thinking of this group, but then there is a necessary next step that says, okay, and we're going to codify those recommendations in the following three buckets. And this is what the actual language of those changed or changes to the language are going to be. And all I'm asking is, doesn't this group want to participate in that? Or maybe they don't. Maybe they want to just make the recommendations and turn it over.
But I think that's something worth discussing.
Okay, let's push that off a little bit, but note that subject. But I want to hear. Actually, I'm sorry. Alan, you were next in the queue.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to address part of what you just said, and part of what Liz said. The outcome at the level of PPSC, at the level of the council, and then at the level of the board and probably some board subcommittee, is that pretty much every stage along the way, they can tear apart what we're doing. They can simply ratify it, you know, without a change in a comma anywhere, or anywhere in between. Based on, as Liz pointed, the brilliant thinking and discussion in this committee, I'd like to think that it's going to be closer to accept rather than tear apart and start over again. That's the whole concept of delegating work to a group of people who you have some faith in. So I think we want to turn out something as clean as possible, and I would support that if staff is going to at some point have to turn recommendations into specific rules. In some cases, we've already come up with bylaw rules. It's not clear to me exactly where all these rules fit in the future. Are they going to be in the bylaws or somewhere else? But wherever they're going to be sitting, I think we may as well have staff do that work under our auspices instead of putting it off to the next stage. That is, work on the assumption that it is going to be accepted as a whole and turn out a professional document that's ready to go with approval of all the bodies in between. Now, if they choose to redo half of it, we've wasted some effort at that point, but I think that's the professional way to proceed.
Okay. Any thoughts on what Alan has said? Anybody want to weigh in?
David.
Hey, David. Okay, good.
I think we should participate in the final writing of the rules. I don't think it should be totally delegated to staff.
I wasn't implying that, but all I'm saying is if that phase, which may be drafted by staff and then critiqued and revised by whatever group, that it should be done under our auspices and not someone else down the line.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, I don't think you're going to get any kind of disagreement on that. I think that's ultimately, I think this work team and certainly the PPSC will want to be involved and make sure that what's drafted and what's approved is, or what's proposed to be approved is what we've intended or what the outcome was from our group. I think that is crucial. I think we're jumping ahead of ourselves a little bit, which is kind of why I wanted to put off the discussion a little bit. But I don't think, is there anyone that disagrees with that whole notion?
Which notion, Jeff?
Which is that at some point when the ultimate bylaws or the PDP process is rewritten, either as bylaws, best practices, or operations, that staff should involve this team and the board should involve this team to make sure that they accurately reflect the outcome from this group.
Of course.
Well, I was saying something slightly different. I was saying that we should consider that part of our task before we turn in a final product.
Okay, so as part of the final product to the council or to the board
PPSC,
or one of those stages.
That doesn't stop us from turning over an interim product, tossing something over the fence and getting more wider comments. In addition to consulting the general community, we could also consult our parent committee.
Right. I think the report is good for getting comments back. I mean, at some point we're going to want to introduce public, get some comments from the public on this. And so I think a report is a better format initially to get those comments.
Mm-hmm.
So people could see our rationale and our thoughts behind why we came up with what we came up with. Did I just end that sentence in a preposition? I did.
And it sounded perfect.
All right, so any other discussion on the phase one document? So, just to, I should have left a minute there, a pause. Any other questions on that? So again, just to recap, the goal is that please, please, I implore you, almost beg you to read it in the next 2 weeks, provide any comments on any aspect of this, including the recommendations, the methodology, the reflection of how we reflected the discussions that took place. Make sure your opinions are reflected in this report. So if you could please comment on that by no later than the 24th, we'd be greatly appreciated. And with that, let's jump on to stage two. So I'll give Marika a couple seconds to get the phase two document on there, or stage two. Okay, so if you look at this document, and Marika, do you have control of this, or does everyone have their own control?
I think everyone has their own control, but I'm happy to take control or give you control.
Well, I think let's just jump to question five, I think, is where, if you want to do that. We've put this topic off a number of times, probably because it's kind of hard to think about in the abstract, and I'm not sure that any issues would rise to this, although maybe that's a good way of thinking about it. But this is on emergency procedures, expedited procedures for an emergency or urgent situation. Let me ask the question. Does anyone believe that to date there have been any issues that have been brought to the council's level that had we had a procedure for an expedited process, it would have or should have been invoked? And maybe that will help think about the subject in kind of a less abstract way.
Mike Grimbaugh got a couple of examples that might have been appropriate.
Okay. Shoot.
Domain tasting and fast flux.
Okay. So if taking those two, and I'm not agreeing or disagreeing, but taking those two examples, what in your mind made that a need for an expedited process?
A lot of ongoing harm.
Okay, so ongoing harm is, would you say an immediate harm? I mean, not just ongoing, it's not something, well, let me ask the question. Is it ongoing harm, or is it something that's now presenting immediate harm? So, for example, there could be something that people have possibly may think has been a harm that's been going on for years, or is it something that, you know, just all of a sudden came about and now we need to address it before it gets out of control?
Well, my two examples would straddle your two scenarios there. Domain tasting, the harm had been going on for a couple of years, 2 or 3 years at that point, but had gotten, you know, to be a tremendous burden on businesses. And fast flux hosting was a fairly new phenomenon when the FSAC reported on it. And I felt it was pretty urgent as soon as the FSAC reported on it that the council take it up. And so we did as quickly as possible, but that still took 3 or 4 months before the council even acted on the FSAC report, at least.
Okay, so I see there's a hand, James, and let me try to steer the discussion because what I don't want to do is get into a debate as to whether domain tasting or fast flux should have been expedited. I'm just trying to come up with factors that we would think about if an expedited process were needed and kind of keep it to that level. So, James, do you have any comments on that?
Am I that predictable, Jeff?
No, I think we're all predictable. I think in this group we're diverse enough. We're diverse enough to foresee that.
Okay. No, my question was whether or not any of the conflict or mitigation efforts, trying to get ahead of that worm, were ever brought to the council, or was that something that was just kind of executed at different levels?
So for that, that was...
I don't know that it was or wasn't. I'm asking the question.
Yeah, so speaking as a registry that responded to that, it was never brought to the council level before we acted, nor was it even contemplated. It was just something that we just needed to take action, and as long as we had the contractual authority to do that, we could get a waiver of something that we didn't believe involved policy.
Okay. Did that group actively, avoid some of the existing, channels, or because they were concerned about delay? Or I'm just trying to understand, because that one has a timeliness component to it, or an urgency, I think, that may have been unique or unprecedented to that point. So
to be honest, and so I was one of the founding members of the Conficker Working Group. To be honest, while now everyone knows the solution of how we came to it, what we did not want is to disclose that solution to anyone outside of people that needed to know, because we didn't want the, quote, bad guys to find out what we were doing until after we had already executed the solution. We didn't want the security measures to be undermined. And so it was more of a matter of not wanting public disclosure for security reasons, as opposed to even thinking in terms of whether this was policy or not, or whether it was something that needed to go through the council. And I'm just being open and honest with the group that was our thoughts. So I see Paul with Paul and Alan.
Yeah, it is Paul. Thanks, Jeff. I was going to say, it strikes me that Conficker is a good example, and somehow in our report we might want to be clear and underscore this one as a potential precedent, because it seems that what should the policies, what would the procedure look like, and importantly, the determination that the issue is urgent, it's a recognition by some experts in the community that there's a very high probability of harm. The action needs to be taken immediately because of a probability of harm. With Conficker, you have the advantage of having a deadline, and you knew that if you didn't do something by such and such a date, there was the expectation it was going to get real nasty real fast. On other issues, we're probably going to get into the same kind of chicken and egg situation that we had when we discussed earlier. Should somebody proposing try to demonstrate making a request for an issue for a PDP develop some sort of background information and whatnot, and FastFlux might be a good example where there's a recognition of this thing going on, but there wasn't a body of research that you could point to. And so, some people might make the argument that, yeah, you've got an urgent problem here, it needs to be addressed, but you don't necessarily have something very demonstrable to point to and say, here's what's going to happen if we don't, or there's a deadline or something of that sort. I'm not sure exactly what the answer is here, but, we might try and capture this sort of dynamic that in some cases it will be far more obvious than others. And perhaps as we treated the development earlier on with the, what reporting should be made available at the beginning, any sort of when and where possible, those who are pushing for a PDP to provide or demonstrate what their expectation for harm and why there's a need for this policy work at this time, we kind of use that same sort of sense and language, bring it in here. I don't think there will ever be a one-size-fits-all. I think you'll probably get a range of opinion even on what people describe as urgent. But in some cases, it probably does rise above, and Conficker is probably your best example. Now, all that being said, as you just said, that was a particular issue that you didn't necessarily want in a very public forum like a PDP. It necessarily had to be dealt with kind of behind the scenes by the experts so that the bad guys wouldn't be able to exploit whatever sort of remediation efforts you're putting in place. But at least it stands out. I think it's a good way of capturing people's minds the range of issues that you can have here and how a definition of urgent may be very hard to strike upon, but we can probably come to some agreement that some things really do rise up, as in particular when there's a deadline involved.
Okay. So before I get to Alan, if I could boil down what you said, it's basically, and I like some of the words you used, you said a recognition of a high probability of harm, and then you added some other factors like some sort of immediacy or, you know, urgency from a timing perspective, and the harm should be of such significance that it warrants the immediate attention. I think those were some of the factors I got out of what you said. Did I miss anything, or does that kind of capture it?
No, I think it captures it. And obviously open for discussion. It just seems as we're trying to figure something out, and it gets back to what we've discussed previously, recognizing the difficulties. On some issues that there's not a large body of work that you can point to, or even sometimes the experts, people who recognize it, can't immediately tell you, here's information that that can guide the working group. But, you know, those key factors that you've just highlighted again for us, seems like that's a good starting point.
Okay, so Alan?
Yep. First of all, I'll say I would have sworn there was something in the bylaws allowing the board to act when there's imminent harm. I was sure there was something, and then which allowed them to act and then refer to the PD to the council afterwards.
Yes.
I haven't gone back and read the rules.
That's correct. It's actually in the contracts. I'm not sure it's in the bylaws, but it's in the contracts.
Okay, but it's not only in the registrar's agreement. It also applies to registries, I believe.
Correct. Where board action is, where something has to be done by the board, as opposed to
where the board can take action, which
right.
perhaps should have gone through a PDP, but...
Well, I'm not sure it should
this
have gone
Marika,
through
but
PDP.
I think it's in very narrow... I think it's really related to very specific security and stability
yes,
issues.
It is.
And as far as I know, I think it has never been invoked. And there is indeed a requirement. Once it's installed that procedure, it needs to be reviewed or go back to a PDP procedure to continue, if I
okay.
remember correctly.
Okay, so the second column where it says it's only in the RAA is not correct here. Am I missing something?
The second column says that it's in the... Correct. It's actually in the registry agreements.
Okay. I actually think it's somewhere in the bylaws, but whether it is or not is moot. We're really talking about something that's outside of the PDP at this point. We're talking about action which is not going to be taken by council. I mean, implicitly, if it gets taken by council, it's going to take a longer time than in the next 2 days. And it's going to be more public. So we're really talking about something outside of the PDP and therefore perhaps outside of the scope. But surely if we feel that the current rules are not wide enough or are too limited for cases like Configur or whatever comes next, then we need to make a recommendation that they be more generalized or put in the bylaws if that's where they belong or something like that. I mean, this time, as you pointed out, you managed to do whatever you needed pretty much within the rules and the rights that you already had. We don't know if that's going to be suitable in the next case.
So let me give another example. Let's say, let's do a hypothetical. Maybe this is more of a sort of for an expedited. Let's say, hypothetically, there's a request from a constituency to do a PDP on new TLDs, and we know that the new TLD process is imminent. This is not harm necessarily, or maybe it is. Let's take the request by the non-commercials for a PDP on registrar separation.
Okay.
Because it's been made, not because for any other reason. And they would like to see a PDP done on registrar separation, obviously prior to the introduction of new TLDs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a case where they want to make sure that there's some expedited process. But that's
Wait,
not
are you talking about the current motion?
The current motion.
It says specifically that it doesn't want to interfere with the delivery of...
Let's pretend it was made without that thing.
Okay, thanks. Okay.
Right. I'm just trying to create a hypothetical.
Got
of something.
Got it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, so I don't think there's a case of imminent harm there. Right? Maybe there is. I mean, the registries might argue there is imminent harm. Maybe some others might argue there's harm. But let's pretend there is no harm. Is there any mechanism that the council could just say, yes, we want to do an expedited process, and here's here's the deadlines we want to set. I mean, or is that something, do we even need to prescribe that? Is that something the council should be able to consider and set the timelines as it sees fit?
The council has considered pretty rigidly the process that's outlined in the bylaws for the PDP. We've you know, changed the deadline sometimes, but we haven't said let's skip four steps because.
Well, that's true, Alan. It's Mike, but we can make things a lot faster than we normally make them. You know, generally we've extended deadlines to accommodate obviously staff workload and council workload. We've never shortened deadlines. I don't know that we could under the bylaws, but we could at least hold to them.
But that's the point. We haven't shortened them, and in general, all it takes is one objection to lengthen them.
Yeah, that's true.
So should there be a process to shorten them?
I think that there should be in extraordinary circumstances, obviously requiring a higher voting threshold than to otherwise initiate an issues report, but certainly there should be some way to expedite policy development, especially as we have so many issues we're seeing on council now. You know, prioritization is becoming a real factor. We'll be setting annual work plans, for example, which is generally a great idea, but that makes it all the more important to have the ability to deal with, you know, so-called emergency situations as they arise.
Okay, so you used the term there, extraordinary circumstances, which I think is...
extraordinary emergency. I don't know what the right phrasing is. Bottom line is it just needs to require a higher threshold of the council in order to take advantage of that process.
Okay, so by higher threshold, then normally to, under the new rules, to invoke the PDP, God, I should have this memorized by now. Anyone have it memorized?
I was just drafting comments on it. It looks like it says that it's 25% of each house or 50% of one house.
Right. So would you then make an extraordinary circumstance just fit within the definition of supermajority as that's defined in the bylaws, which would be... what, 75% of one house and 50% of the other? Is that supermajority?
I don't know, but I don't think it should be that high.
Jeff, the problem is, regardless of what we set the threshold at, what are we going to do at that point? If the result is we are going to bypass steps or, you know, shrink deadlines from 3 weeks to 1 week or whatever, we are impacting the procedure we have crafted to try to get bottom-up input and consensus and all the other good things that ICANN says its policies are driven by.
Mm-hmm.
But the end product is still going to be labeled a consensus, you know, or assuming it falls under the picket fence and a picket fence type issue, is still labeled a consensus policy, or is it like the board one that it will rule for 2 years and then has to be revised? I'm not quite sure what the end product is here. I understand the premise that something may be urgent. But
okay.
What does it give us the ability to do?
So, James, you have your hand up. Do you have a comment on this, or is it something else?
Oh, it's this, and I'm trying to, you know, remember my original point while, of course, keeping up with the developments of the last few minutes. You know, I'm trying to think in the abstract here whether there's an urgency or a timeliness aspect to these types of issues, as well as what I wanted to add to that was the possibility that a new issue might invalidate or obsolete work that's already underway. That might also cause it to deserve to be moved up in the priority or the queue. But I'm starting to kind of come around to a lot of what Mike and Alan are saying, as well as I think what you mentioned earlier with the configure example, is that, you know, are we really talking about policy anymore? I mean, something that has to be open, transparent, has to go through public comment, all of those things that tend to slow down the output. And so I think I'm kind of coming around to where Alan is right now. Are we really still talking about policy development?
Okay. And so I think, you know, as a threshold, it's got to be within scope of, I mean, the first assessment has to be, it has to be within scope of the GNSO as a policy matter. Right? I think that's got to be.
Well, yes, but what we're really saying is, are there cases where something is within scope of the policy matter, perhaps outside the picket fence or in, doesn't matter, but within GNSO scope, and yet we feel that there is no way to craft GNSO rules which meet all of ICANN's core values and yet respond sufficiently quickly. If there are such cases, all I can see is recommend that the board have wider powers to exercise things in emergency situation, which may be wider than just the stability and security issues. I think that's where we're getting, because otherwise we are giving the GNSO ways of bypassing the rules that we've put in place to ensure the bottom-up consensus-driven policy. And I'm not sure that's healthy or that we'll be able to do it that quickly.
Okay, Mike, any thoughts on that?
No, nothing more at this time.
So, I mean, it sounds like, Alan, you're saying that at this point there we shouldn't have expedited procedures for the council, but you're arguing that maybe the board should have increased powers as opposed to a policy process.
I guess I'm saying anything that is within GNSO scope should be within board scope in an emergency. I hadn't formulated those words before, but I think that's what it says. Now, it maybe if you interpret the current rules loosely enough, that is the case today. I don't know. I haven't gone back to look at them.
Yeah, see, this is James, and I'm kind of coming around to what Alan was saying earlier, which is that if we start to determine that something is urgent or time-sensitive, and we start throwing out steps in the process, and how do we go about determining which of those steps are expendable or can be sacrificed to this? You know, I mean, are we talking about public comment? Are we talking about, finding consensus? Or you know, what element have we worked on thus far that is ready to be thrown overboard?
Or is it that, I mean, our recommendation is that PDP is flexible on timelines, but it could be that the council then does determine, look, this needs to be done on this date by this time for each of the steps. I mean, it is possible for the council to kind of require a deadline. Now, what the ramification of not meeting that deadline is, who knows, but I mean, the council can set short timelines within the bounds of the ranges that we think are appropriate.
So you're saying with something like with a supermajority, council can shorten any deadlines it deems to be appropriate?
I'm not saying that. That's a little broader.
Well,
that's a proposal.
No. But I think that's the intent of what you're saying, that if the council believes strongly enough that deadlines have to be met because of urgency, that it could set deadlines and perhaps even shorter than within the ones specified.
And so now that is that something people agree, disagree?
I guess I was asking, does that roughly map to what you were saying, or is it a different idea altogether?
I think you took it a little bit further, but
since you
said it, and it certainly merits discussion. Thoughts on that? Or even, you know, so let's say our recommendation is that for a certain phase, we think that should take between 60 and 90 days. Can the council say, you know what, we want to set the deadline at 60 and we really believe you must meet that?
We really mean it this time.
Yeah. Or can it even say, look, we know it's normally 60 to 90. This is of such an extraordinary circumstance. We want it in 30 or 45. So you're not eliminating a step. You're just taking away its flexibility or shortening it a little bit.
I see nothing wrong with that. If it requires a sufficiently high threshold to pass,
And I think that's fine as well. This is James. I think that's fine as well. I'm just thinking of the practical implications of, you know, what that might mean for existing or ongoing work that might be paused or put on hiatus until something is inserted ahead of it into the queue.
I mean, clearly, it's got to be something which is it's got to get buy-in from the people who actually have to do the work. But if it has that, why not? Now, if you're shortening a public comment period to 3 days, we may have some objection.
I mean, one of the factors that needs to be considered, right, that I wrote down, James, is your point about, you know, is there on, you know, so there's a recognition of a high probability of harm or an immediate and significant harm that maybe other extraordinary circumstances we talked about. And then one thing to consider is there work that's already going on that either, A, addresses that subject already, so is there an existing work group that's talking about that? Can you just maybe give it to them and have them produce an output quicker? Or is it something that puts other priorities on hold or moves priorities around? I mean, I think that's all things that the council should consider in its determination of whether to invoke these expedited procedures. But let me ask the core question, though, and I think I've heard agreement on this, that whatever the process is, we don't believe, or whatever the time frame is, we don't believe that anything should be skipped. I don't think, is anyone advocating that there are steps that we believe can be bypassed, or are we pretty much saying all the steps that we talk about still need to be completed, but maybe on a more compressed time frame?
Unless it's of suitable urgency that it becomes a board issue.
Right, the board can always, you know, create a team, right, like it did with the IRT. It could always create a team and, you know.
Perhaps a bad example, but yes.
Well, I mean, yeah, okay. But it could create, if there was
good,
an emergency.
Good example, but inflammatory.
Right. If there was an emergency situation that was creating harm, the board doesn't have to make, you know, the board could, in theory, create a work team to look at that issue for 30 days as opposed to debating it itself, right, in order to come up with these emergency procedures, right? The board could always do that. Now, it might only be able to fit it in with the emergency procedures and not as a general policy matter, but so I take your point, Alan, that the board could always
be appropriate.
Yeah.
It's Mike, Jeff. I'd like to answer your question. I don't necessarily think that all steps have to be followed in all cases. I think that if you've got these situations and you've got the higher threshold voting on council, then you could dispense with some of the steps in the PDP. I guess most notably public comment.
Well, can you dispense with public comment, or can you just make it a lot shorter?
Or you can delay it until after the implementation of the policy. I mean, you got to remember that you've got, again, a supermajority, if you will, of councilors voting for this because they think it's an emergency situation. So putting something out for a 30-day public comment period under those situations seems to be unreasonable.
I guess I support what Mike is saying. If you look at the scenario that of when could harm be done, if council decides to skip something that there's a general uproar about, number one, it's not likely to have gotten a supermajority. Maybe, but not likely. And second of all, there is going to be an opportunity for the board to say, no, you didn't follow reasonable procedures, we're not going to do it.
Right.
So I don't think there's any harm in putting those processes in for exceptional circumstances. I would think they're bloody infrequently going to be used.
Yep.
So let me ask, and then Liz is, I'll ask your question. Oh, let me let Liz speak, and I'll save my question.
Two things. One, I just had a question about whether the vote that you're talking about is a vote to initiate some, you know, quick and dirty working group to resolve an issue, or whether the vote you're talking about is on a specific recommendation to implement a specific emergency recommendation to change something. Because I think that's an important
distinction. You want to be more flexible with emergency powers in the formation, but you don't want to be so flexible that if you're talking about a decision, a policy change, that you don't give any opportunity for this, you know, broad public comment or debate on an actual policy change. And if the issue is second, if the issue is so compelling that it really warrants that, and I can imagine that that could be the case, I don't mean to preclude that possibility, then it would strike me that you would need a subsequent review pretty much right away. That to think about it more almost as a sort of injunctive relief temporarily where you implement something, but where you in you provide a mechanism in the shortly thereafter to consider public comment and to follow more inclusive practices in a review or a longer process that considers on the merits the options in a more thoughtful way.
Okay, so there's a couple comments on that. I'll start with Paul.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. I really like the term Liz used. Not that I necessarily want to sound like a lawyer, but you know, the sense of injunctive relief might be a better way to a good way to capture what we're getting at here. But I would also underscore what you said that you know it would be recognized and would be spelled out as temporary, because I can just imagine you know situations that. As well-advised or well-intentioned as the council may be, if they forego certain rules, you're almost guaranteed to have, you know, significant portions of the ICANN community start screaming about it. But, you know, maybe it is for a good reason, whatever the case, as long as our guidelines here note that this is, you know, injunctive relief and it's temporary because the standard policy process takes too long, you know, then we can move forward. The other thing is I'd just be very concerned about, you know, the possibility, as always, of precedent. If we don't have that sense, or if it's not written into revised rules that this is temporary, that we run the risk that perhaps we find that these emergencies start becoming more commonplace, and then we get away from the whole bottom-up consensus-based approach towards policymaking. It's supposed to be the, sort of the foundation for ICANN. That you know you find too many issues coming forward as quote-unquote emergencies or urgents. I think it's very, very important that we note that these whatever is put in place is just for a short term because it was deemed, you know, there was that immediacy of harm that we discussed earlier, but that the more full-blown, drawn-out processes are still there available and, in fact, will be we'll go through them in time once we deal with the emergent, the immediate need.
Okay. So key is emergency, temporary, sort of an injunctive relief kind of sense from your comments. Let me go to Alan, I think, is next.
Yeah. I think we're inventing a new stage, which we don't need to. The injunctive emergency injunctive relief with a formal policy process afterwards is exactly what the board has or should have now. And I don't see a need to add a council version of it. I support the concept that council can shorten or short-circuit some stages if the situation seems to apply and there's a vast majority of councillors who agree. But that's still a policy process, subject, of course, to the board second-guessing them and saying you didn't follow reasonable procedures. And that's up to council to justify why it was reasonable in this case. But I see no reason to add a council level of injunctive relief, which is then followed up by another council action, when I think that's either what the board already has or we should recommend the board have. Otherwise, we're just reinventing multiple levels that just add to the confusion, and I'm not sure really solve the problem.
Okay, I see James.
Yeah, I disagree somewhat with what Alan was saying, just in that I think that it's not necessarily a duplicate of the board process, but more of a method by which PDP can be given precedent over over existing issues or something else that may be in the docket or in the queue. But I wanted to go back to something that Paul and Liz were talking about the temporary nature of this, and I'm wondering if built into whatever recommendations or guidelines we ultimately arrive at, if there can be a built-in commitment that that there is a sunset time frame that is associated with an urgent issue, and that that is matched to what a formal PDP duration would be. So that, for example, if you were to execute on an expedited issue A, you would also simultaneously launch PDP on that issue that would determine whether or not that emergency action was warranted or should be allowed to sunset.
So if you go with the injunction type discussion, remember an injunction doesn't look at necessarily the merits or the substance, but more an injunction is an act is something put into place to really maintain the status quo of what existed before the behavior that was complained about, right? So it's not like, so for example, in a court, they file for an injunction, like a preliminary injunction, which is sort of what this is like. The court doesn't look at the substance or really the facts. It just looks at, look, if I don't stop what's going on and maintain what it was like before this complaint about behavior went into effect, then the harm is really going to explode.
It's, and it, it may not be able to be undone later on by a court.
Right. So it's not... So I view, personally, I view what Liz said as an injunction is not the best analogy, because I think here, especially if something's in the picket fence, right? If something's in the picket fence and it's something that people want to be a consensus policy and implementable against the registries and registrars, you really do need to look at the substance of the matter. There needs to be a consensus on the substance as opposed to what the board could do as a temporary matter. So, I mean, just throwing that out there for discussion as well, as to, you know, does it matter if something's in or outside the picket fence? And you know, I would think maybe registries and registrars would have an opinion on that. So, and Liz just posted something on the... She says, I don't think injunction is the best term, but it conjures a temporary action that needs to be taken. So I guess that brings it back up to what Alan has said. Is there ever really something, or maybe it's not, maybe it's more, sorry, I'm just going back and forth. James said it's something where it's a reprioritization of work that's going on and a commitment to address this maybe on a quicker time frame than the normal PDP process.
This is David. I've been on mute and unable to get into this, but I agree with Jeff that analogy to a temporary restraining order or injunction is really the wrong analogy. And I, from listening to this, I don't see a need for an expedited procedure, given the powers of the board.
So, David, but what about what we talked about before the expedited or skipping steps, right? But more of the what we talked about before that, which is could the council set shorter time frames necessarily than what we've provided guidance for in the PDP, so long as it meets all of the steps.
I would have no objection to that.
Okay, and then taking it to what was discussed after that was, are there some steps that maybe could be cut out because of the urgency of the situation? So, for example, Mike had raised that maybe if it's got a supermajority support of the council, do you really need to necessarily go through all the public comment periods that are otherwise provided for in the PDP? Are there things that could the council could have discretion to maybe skip's not the right word, but maybe it is.
Well, I suppose you can conceive of emergencies or critical issues that would come up, and I would trust the council to shorten procedures or compress procedures, but I would oppose elimination of public comment as a possibility. I think public comment is fundamental to this proceeding, this kind of proceeding, and I'm in favor of flexibility on the part of the council when the need arises to shorten or perhaps make procedures run simultaneously. So that seems to me reasonable. So
for example, let's say there are several different public comment periods usually in a PDP. Could those be consolidated as an example?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Alan, you have your...
Yeah, you just got into what I was going to say. It's hard to comment at this point when we haven't locked in what all the steps are.
Right.
I can easily imagine that if we end up saying there must be public consultation before the issues report can be discussed, before the issue request for an issues report can be submitted, and have enough other steps along the way that there will be ones that I believe might be bypassable. They're ones that may not show up in the final agenda at all. You know, in the schedule law, we may have bypassed them as in this committee. So until we actually see the final list, it's hard to say are there steps which can be bypassed. But I think conceptually there are. And your example of multiple comment periods where, you know, obviously you need the last one, but maybe earlier ones can be bypassed in cases where the problem is obvious or something like that. So I would support the ability of council to do it. Council is not going to do this capriciously, because whatever council does is going to have to go through some level of public comment and board approval. And it would be stupid of council to do something which is just going to get rejected after all the work.
Okay. Mike, do you want to add to that? Do you agree with that?
I pretty much agree with what Alan just said, yes.
Okay. So I think, Alan, I think you made a real fair point that it's hard to, before seeing all the steps and before laying them out, it's hard to discuss which ones could be bypassed. So I think we've gotten a bunch of points out of this discussion. I think it's been a really good one, and we've got certainly a bunch of concepts that we can write down in our notes and ultimately in the report until we get to finalizing the actual process, and then maybe save this as one of the items then to come back to after we get through all the stages, at least all the stages on the preliminary part, right? Because one of our stages talks about what happens after a PDP and review and monitoring, things like that. So we obviously don't have to wait for that stage necessarily. But we can certainly re-talk about this again once we come up with all the time frames.
Well, and we've brought up the subject that it may be possible for council to shorten and or eliminate some stages, which I think is an important concept to revisit. And I'm not sure we ever have to be more specific than that, but it's put something on the table we've never discussed before, and I think it's a good,
right.
It's been a good conversation for that.
And let me actually, Liz has posted a couple comments on the chat, which I think are actually really good. Maybe there's other types of public comment we could use instead of emergency ones, like to allow comments throughout, sort of like a blog type thing, where comments, you know, are always kind of received and can be considered. That it's not just okay, we're putting this out for public comment, you have 20 days. It's, you know, there's public comment throughout. So maybe that's another idea. So I think we have enough to kind of jot down in the notes on this subject. It's getting towards the later part of our call. I just want to I think we covered some of this, actually, when we were talking about the expedited procedures, but I believe the next one we needed to talk about was kind of the prioritization. Right, Marika? That's kind of where, what number is that in?
To be honest, I don't know by heart either, but we spoke about it briefly last time, and then the question was raised whether it was something that the OSC was looking at, and we checked internally, and they're actually not considering prioritization, especially not in relation to the PDP process, but neither in relation to overall prioritization of council work.
Right. Okay, I see now it's in Section 7 of the issues. So page 9, I think. We have a bunch of questions there. I think, I'm not sure we have enough time in this call to kind of go over those questions, but I do want people to think about that, and if you could comment on it on the email list, on these questions, should there be a maximum number of PDPs that run simultaneously, the role of identification of resources at the start of a PDP, development of a template to assess cost and burden, role of staff in making maximum number of PDP assessment. I think we talked about just now kind of in our expedited review as to, you know, reprioritizing or putting something ahead. So we sort of addressed a little bit of it. But is there a role for council or some other body, or probably council, right, to say, look, you know, this is a great idea for a PDP and we'd like to invoke it, but can we delay it? Or, right, so that's the next thing, right, possibility to vote initiating the PDP, but to hold the creation of a working group or set a later date to allow for better spread of activity.
Jeff, this is James, and I'm sorry to interrupt that thought. Am I the only one that lost the OW Connect?
I still have it. Yes. Does anybody else have a problem?
No problem.
I'll reconnect. Sorry.
That's okay. So is there I think we're getting towards the end of the call. I'm not necessarily. Does anybody have any quick comments or initial thoughts on that, or should we just hold that off for email discussion?
If we can try to get an email discussion going, that would be nice. I'm as guilty as the rest, but.
So Alan, I think you just volunteered to start the email discussion.
No, I did not. I have volunteered for far too many things in the last 2 days.
I'm sorry to hear that. Okay, so why don't we do that? Let's see if we can get an email discussion on those questions, and then I think we've pretty much finished out for now stage 2. And also, by the way, we'll ask some questions on that in the survey that we hopefully have out by next week. We'll ask some questions that maybe will help get some thoughts on that as well. And please respond to the survey as soon as you get it or as soon as you have time after you get it, because that's really, it was very instructive for phase one and I think really moved the ball at a time when, you know, it just didn't seem like the group was moving. So I think the survey was a really effective tool. So I hope you all participate.
Jeff, before the call is over, it's Alan. I'll go on record as saying you're in big trouble.
Why's that?
You've been a really good chair of this group. And we now know who to pick for all future difficult groups.
No good deed goes unpunished.
Well, thank you for your vote of confidence. We'll see. I'll test the effectiveness, or I'll do a self-evaluation once we get out the final deliverables and it's adopted and we have a new procedure.
Well, that'll be another measure. As a participant, I appreciate your work. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Alan. Thank you, everyone, for showing up. And so just to remind you, a doodle's going to go out for the timing of the next call on the 24th. The meeting after that's on the 1st at our regularly scheduled time this time. And on the 8th, the doodle will go out for that week, and the 15th will be the regular time. So please respond to those as well.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Tim.